Glad you're here this morning. It's a good day to be in God's house. Amen. You know what? I want to challenge you as we get into Thanksgiving. The Lord's really challenged me with one thing, that I think every day we pick something that we can be thankful for in this next week and really thank God for it. Okay? Where we take a moment and in this next week, pick one thing. Talk about it with your family. Talk about it in your perspective. What is one thing that you're thankful for that day? And I think it's such a great perspective as we get ready to walk into this holiday season of really having a heart of gratitude, of really digging in and saying, okay, God, Lord, before I ask for anything, before we give anything, Lord, I just have a heart of gratitude. Thank you for what you've already done. Hasn't God taken such good care of us? I mean, over and over and over again, I was talking to Fran down here, how God just took care of her this month and how we, when we wait on God's time, what a great testimony. And I'm so thankful that God takes good care of us. You may not have all that you want, but we have all that we need. And that's an incredible blessing that God has blessed us with. So as you walked in today, you know we're in the middle of our series on generosity, on giving. Last week we talked about having that ready, that mindset of where giving comes from and what we need to look at. And this week I want to kick it off by taking this booklet. Will you, everybody, grab the booklet? You might be sitting on it if you didn't move it, all right? But grab this booklet. There's two ways to give at Hope City. One is in your tithes, and then also in Kingdom Builders. Kingdom Builders is our above and beyond. And the second week of December, we're actually going to be taking a God-sized vision Kingdom Builders offering, where we challenge you. And one of the things I want to challenge you this year is in that year-end giving to say, okay, God, we're going to give one day of wages to Kingdom Builders. Figure that out. Figure out what. Okay, I want to give one day of wages to Kingdom Builders. Kingdom Builders are projects that is all about building the kingdom. If you've been to other churches, they might call it missions. They may call it, different projects. But we have two ways, so we make it really simple. Kingdom Builders is everything that we do that helps build the kingdom here at Hope City and around the world. And as you look at this, there's three focuses. And so as you kind of move forward, this is our 2022, can you believe that? 2022 project guide for Kingdom Builders. And this is what we're going to be giving towards. Because we want Hope City to be generous. Not just asking for your generosity, but we want Hope City to be generous where that generosity will go around the world. Okay? So first of all, we have a global focus. Because we go from the scripture that says we are to take the gospel into Judea, Samaria, and to the utter ends of the earth. So that means our local neighborhood, our local, our global, and then even in a state. So we're taking this and we're saying, okay, God, we want to be obedient with what you've called us to do. So our projects, global is one of those projects that we're going to look at, and we've got some projects in there that we're going to dig into. And every time you give to Kingdom Builders, a portion of that giving will go to a global focus. Then local, those are local projects. Like we were just able, there's a life group that did 24 turkey baskets. And because we had Kingdom Builder funds, we were able to supply all of the turkeys for those baskets that went to families in need here at Hope City and in our community. We'll also be partnering with other ministries. And then we want to invest in the future, which means investing in Hope City. So having space for our kids and our youth. We feel like, man, it's important to invest in that next generation. And kids and youth is a major focus of what we're doing. Building projects, getting this ready, making it available for our community. All right, so you can kind of see our global projects for 2022, Convoy of Hope, India, Pakistan, and then bringing missionaries on board where we support them monthly, missionaries that are with our mission and where we're headed. Local is local church expansion, save families, church planning projects, and local organizations. Investing in the future, Hope City Kids and Youth scholarships, mission trips, local outreach events, and Hope School of Ministry, Hope City School of Ministry and Leadership. You'll hear more about that in the next coming year. But when we give to Kingdom Builders, that's a portion of everything you give goes to these projects. How do you join the mission? Because we want to encourage us in our missions projects. We want to pray. So as you take this book home with you, start praying over these projects. Start praying that God would use us to make an impact. And then plan. Make a plan to give. Decide what you can give. You can make a monthly pledge, maybe $50 a month or whatever you're looking at. And we'll talk more about that. And then dream. Imagine what you could do to help people around the world. Man, I would love to do this much, God. And we'll talk more about that today. But every gift matters. You can look at that and read through that. So here's some global projects. Convoy of Hope, $120 a year. Listen to this. Feeds a child all year long. Think about that for just a moment. And we have, Convoy of Hope, I think, has over 750,000 children they're feeding every month around the world. I mean, you think about that for just a minute. 120, that's the kind of impact our dollars can have going around the world. Also then in India, Grace Assembly of God Church, they're a church that runs 20,000. They have, I think, 30 different campuses. We'll be working to take a missions trip there. But we'd like to give $5,000 in 2022 to Grace, where 1% of the population, they are right outside of the capital city in, and I'm trying to, now I forgot the capital city of India. I can't believe it. Delhi. They're right outside Delhi, and 1% are Christians. So everybody they reach are first-generation Christians. And it's amazing because as you look at that, they actually could lose their life for accepting Christ as their Savior. And so they're in, literally in the garbage dumps. They go in and they reach children. I can't wait to take a group over there. It will change your world. And then also relief to Pakistan. We're partnering with a ministry in Pakistan that they are literally reaching hundreds of thousands of people. They will have a crusade there that reaches 100,000 people in one night. I mean, and literally, we'll show you some pictures from that. And each month, on the third Sunday of the month, we'll show you where these dollars are going and the different ministries. And then global, we want to partner with missionaries. We'd like to support 10 missionaries monthly as we get into that. Okay? Paula, could you bring me my water? Then invest in the future, what that looks like for this coming year. Invest in the future, in scholarships. We want no kid to have to miss any event that we do. And we want to be able to provide that for them. I will tell you about scholarships. One of the things that we do with that, we only do a 50% scholarship at max because we think kids, that people appreciate it so much better. Hope City Kids and Youth, the outreaches that we do, equipping those rooms, you can kind of find out more about that. Mission trip for the youth, we'd love to cover 25% of a mission trip for each youth student because I feel like each youth student, man, it changes the world when they go on a mission trip. It changes their world. And then on local projects, you can kind of look through that. Local church expansion. We would love to complete 3 building projects this year. We're going to finish up the outside because, man, we want to reach our community. Then we have Save Families. Our goal is to donate $2,500 to Save Families this coming year. We'll talk to you more about this. Church planting and then partnering with local organizations. So that gives you an idea of what Kingdom Builders are. We'll talk more about that every third Sunday of the month. And what I challenge you to do, there's no pressure to give, but just say, okay, God, what would you have me do? We'll take the offering on the second Sunday of December, and then in the new year, I would challenge you to put aside stuff monthly for Kingdom Builders. Say, man, I want my dollars to go to projects around the world. And so that's Kingdom Builders. We'll talk to you more about it. Take it home, read about it, pray about it, and definitely get involved. And that is kind of with that. So if you have any questions, come and talk to us. But this is our kickoff Sunday, and you're going to hear so much more about it. But I love that idea of God's side of vision. I want to tell you something also, that when you give in your tithes to Hope City, 10% of that goes out to missions also, goes into Kingdom Builders. Because we feel like, man, we're not going to ask you to tithe 10% if we're not willing to do that. And so that's something that is really important to us. So, all right, so we're in this season of giving. And last week we talked about this whole idea of how do we get ready? We're looking at what the Bible teaches when it comes to generosity with our time, our talents, and our money. We're specifically looking at what generosity looks like in our personal finances. So really digging in. Last week we talked to you, I talked to you about breaking the spirit of mammon in our lives, to be ready to be generous and follow God's direction when it comes to our finances. So Jesus talked about the spirit of mammon in Matthew 6:24 when he says this. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And that's from the King James Version. That's where the word ye comes from. All right, none of us use that word. But you can't serve God and mammon. So what is mammon? Mammon was the Babylonian god of riches. The spirit of mammon always tries to take God's place in our lives. And scripture says that the love of all money is the root of all, the love of money is the root of all evil. So digging into that, that's where we see the spirit of mammon that gets on our finances. Mammon promises identity, security, significance, happiness, and joy. And from what I know, only about 4 times does Jesus call out a spirit in scripture and say, you got to be careful of that spirit. Okay, so we know that's the way the enemy tries to work in our lives. Mammon promises us what only God can provide. Promises identity, security, significance, happiness, joy. And all these things, that's only the only thing that God can give. So money's never going to give you happiness. You can chase after it all your life, and that won't bring happiness, okay? Things don't bring happiness. Only God can bring happiness in our life. And the thing about mammon and this, why Jesus said you can only serve one or the other, is mammon wants to rule. At the end of the day, the goal is to get you to say, I'm self-sufficient and I don't need God. Okay? And sometimes in our finances, we get to that spot where we're like, man, I'm good. Like, look at all that I've done. Look at my accomplishments. No, everything you have, everywhere you're at, the job you have today is because God opened the door for that job. Don't ever get the idea, because mammon wants you to look at it and go, oh, it's all about you. You can't serve God and mammon. That's what Jesus said. Mammon's a spirit that contrasts itself with God. So everything God promises, the spirit of mammon promises also. The only thing about the spirit of mammon is it can never deliver on what it's trying to promise. The spirit of mammon tries to tell you don't need God, just trust in riches. And there's no in between. You're either going to worship God or worship money. That's why scripture says the love of money is the root of all evils. Now listen, when we're talking about love of money, let's be honest, we all like money, okay? There's no question about it, all right? But what I'm talking about is when it gets to the point that that's all you think about, that that's what you worry. It brings you anxiety. It brings you, your identity is built in that. There's no in between. You're either going to worship God or you're going to worship money. And we live in a society that is built to worship money. That's what our country, like I said last week, our dollar bill should not say in God we trust. It should say in money we trust, because that's the United States. The love of money is the root of all evils. So if you're worshiping money over God, don't be surprised when your life turns upside down and you never experience the blessings that you read about in the Bible. The thing about mammon is it likes to dangle things in front of you like a carrot that you can never get a hold of. If you're serving mammon, you'll never get what God promises. Only God can give it to you. And that's why you have to make a choice on who you're going to serve, God or mammon. Now, last week I said this. Some of us, we get uncomfortable when we start talking about money in church. But I want to tell you something. The Bible talks about money 2,000 different times. Just in this book right here, 2,000 times. 40% of the New Testament Gospels are talking about money. In the Bible, that we see the power of generosity, the power of tithing that breaks the power of mammon off of our giving, off of our income, off of our bank accounts, okay? When we practice tithing, in the Bible we see that God says, set the first 10% of your income as a tithe back to him. This is what Malachi 3:3-11 says. You people are robbing me, your God. And here you are asking, how are we robbing you? You are robbing me of the offerings and of the 10% that belongs to me. That's why your whole nation is under a curse. I am the Lord, all powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. The only time in scripture where we're told that we can put God to the test. And I can tell you this, he never fails, amen? He never fails when you put him to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so there will be food in my house. Then I'll open the windows of heaven and flood you with the blessing after blessing. I will stop the locusts from destroying your crops and keeping your vineyards from producing. We were talking to a couple last week who said, whenever we stop tithing, we can always tell. Things started breaking down. Cars broke down, washers and dryers broke down. I mean, like all of this stuff. And it cost us about as much as it would have cost in tithe. And they said, we look at each other and we say, have we been tithing? Nope. And so they start and they're like, man, it's just incredible to see this principle played out. We talked about our tithe, 10%. When we give our 10%, God redeems the other 90% of our money and there's a blessing on it. So last week, we talked about the spiritual principles behind money. This week, I want to talk to you about the practical perspective of what the Bible has to say on how we live this out. When it comes to our finances, we have to be intentional and we have to plan ahead. Every one of us, if you live on a budget because you're planning on how to spend your money. Many of you have worked on your retirement and you're planning on how to spend that. If you don't plan, I promise you, it's going to be hard to get ahead because money just slips through, right? Have you ever experienced that? Like, where did that money go? You had to have a plan, okay? And I want to challenge you, have a plan when it comes to your giving, okay? It's easy to get off track, but God has called us to be good stewards with our money. And it's not the instrument of the dollar, but it's the idea behind money, how we use it, how we spend it, how we invest in it, what heart we have behind it. That's why a budget's so important. You have to plan to be generous. It's easy to overspend, especially in the world we're living in today. It's easy if you don't have a budget to go into debt. And I want to challenge us, and that's something Paul and I are really praying, to get out of debt, to be debt-free, right? I mean, that's an incredible, but you have to plan to be able to do that. If you don't plan for your giving, you won't do it. It's easy to spend on other things and not have enough to give. And so today I want to look at a few kingdom giving principles. And listen, like I said, 2,000 different times the Bible talks about money. 40% of the New Testament, Jesus talks about it out of all of the parables. And so here's what I know about the Bible. This is what you got to know. There are some things that God talks about that he's very general. And you're like, okay, well, I can pretty much do, you know, maybe I can really pray. When it comes to our finances, he gives us specifics on what he wants us to do. And I found in the Bible, when we hear specific principles, we got to follow them. We got to pay attention to them. Because Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. God laid it out in scripture. And so as we look at this, listen, I also don't want this to become, I've got to follow the rules and kind of a religious thing, okay? And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. It's not about following the list of rules and regulations. It's not about getting into heaven or not getting into heaven. That's why when we talk about giving, there is no pressure on your shoulders at all, okay? There's no pressure today. I just want to give you what God tells you, what God says, and then you take it and pray and say, God, what do I want to do with it in my life? But I challenge you to ask God, as we look through these principles, what does he want you to do with it? What does it look like to be a good steward? It's about aligning yourself with God's word and what he has to say, especially when it comes to your finances, and that's where you're going to find incredible blessing. According to Malachi, God will open the windows of heaven and will fill your barns to overflowing. To receive that kind of a blessing, you have to step out first and then God meets you. It's not the other way around. And sometimes we're like, God, I'll give when I have the money. No, sometimes you got to step out and you have to follow him. And here's what I challenge you to do. I think this is the biggest thing. If you walked away with anything, it'd be to say, God, what do you want me to do with my finances? Where do I need to invest them? What do I need to do? What do you want me to do? Have that conversation with him. The Bible tells us God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. That's why I think it's so important to understand what God's word has to say about finances, because it kind of goes against the world's grain. It goes against what we're taught. When we know what he says, it breaks that spirit of mammon off of our lives. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is found in Matthew 12, 41 through 44. And I want to read it to you because it's such an incredible picture of what God is expecting when it comes to our generosity. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples and said to him, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, as poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. If you look at that, what is Jesus talking about? First of all, I find it interesting that he was sitting near the collection box watching. I find that interesting. That means I think he very much cares about this topic in our lives. I wonder if he still does that today. I don't know. It's an interesting thought. In this scripture, you see an important truth come out. It's not about equal amount. It's about equal sacrifice. It wasn't about the amount of money those people gave. It was about the sacrifice. As much as God's not concerned about the amount you give, as much as he's concerned that you are being obedient and following his principles when it comes to finances. So what are some of those principles? And we see it play out there. And I want to share with you five today, all right? And we're going to move through them fast, okay? Five principles when it comes to kingdom giving that we find in scripture. And first of all, principle number one is we are called to sacrifice. As believers, we're called to sacrifice. Okay, what does that mean? We see this principle played out in our portion of scripture that we just read. Believers are called to sacrifice for God's kingdom. If you believe in something, you're going to give it to it. even when it means you have to sacrifice. The widow gave everything she had. Talk about sacrifice. The rich people that were not sacrificing, they gave just a portion of it. They kind of threw God a tip, I kind of see it as. There was no sacrifice. Some people look at that, and it's hard to understand, but God's not looking at the amount you give. He's looking at the sacrifice and the heart behind it. So don't feel bad if you can only put $2 in the offering. If that's all you have and you've made that sacrifice, you are pleasing to God. That's what Scripture is telling. God's not looking at the amount you give. He's looking at your heart. And some people tell me that, man, they're going to tithe once they have more money. If you're not tithing now when you make a little, you won't when you make a lot. Because it gets harder and harder and harder. Americans have a hard time sacrificing anything. That's why we go into debt. That's why we've got credit cards. Because we live in a society that says, get whatever you want whenever you need it. And that's different than what God's plan is, I think. Financial sacrifice is this. What is sacrifice? Financial sacrifice is when you give what you love, not what you don't need. That's why it always used to kill me. We would do the missionary drives to send clothes overseas back in the 40s and the 50s. Everybody would give their junk, the things that they didn't need, and they felt good about it. That's not a sacrifice. Financial sacrifice is when you give what you love, not what you don't need. Financial sacrifice also opens your life up to God's provision. That's where we see the provision of God opening up. I would have loved to hear the rest of the story on that widow, because I bet there was incredible blessing that came in her life after. We only hear what happened there, but it literally, that sacrifice opened up God's provision. You may have to sacrifice in your life a little bit to begin to tithe. You might have to say, okay, we're going to change our principles around. Maybe it's no more Dutch brother. I don't know what it is. Whatever God tells you, that's what I want you to listen to. The widow caught Jesus' attention also by her sacrifice. You notice that? Jesus, out of that whole crowd, see, in our perspective, we'd probably be looking at the rich people and go, man, I wish I could be like them. Jesus caught the widow. And I believe that when you sacrifice, you'll catch God's attention. There will be provision in your life. She gave all that she had. In 2 Corinthians, it says this, 2 Corinthians 8 through 11. And giving you just a little bit of background about 2 Corinthians, okay? This was being written to the church in Macedonia that had very little income. They literally were so stretched financially, but they gave incredible generosity. They gave way above and beyond. And so it doesn't matter what kind of financial status that we live in, we can always give above and beyond. And that's what Paul was saying here. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. So sacrifice. Principle number two. And I think this is a very, very huge principle. Let God direct your finances. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Now, I want to tell you something. If you are unhappy about giving, keep your money. There's literally times in an offering where, when we were in St. Louis, my secretary would come up and say, there looks like a $20 bill. It's all crumpled up and somebody just threw it in. I'm like, I bet they were not happy about giving. It should be the funnest thing that we get to do. We get to say, God, thank you. You bless me. I get to turn around and bless others. Like, there should be so much joy when we give. I love watching children give. I really do. Like, I'll catch out of my eye one of the kids putting money in the box out in the back. And they're smiling. They're so happy. I go, that's how we have to be. We can't be grumpy about giving, all right? And here's the deal. We're not here to pressure you. I'm not asking you to give reluctantly. What I'm asking you to do is this. God, what do you want me to give? And then be obedient. We give you opportunities. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe that the spirit of mammon can sit on your shoulder and make you feel like you're being pressured. That's where you just have to break it off and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not partnering with the Spirit. I don't feel pressure. Listen, there is no pressure, okay? But I think there's something to be said about God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And I want to take it one step further. Cheerfully still on Tuesday after you wrote the check Sunday. Right? Because there's times, and I'm going to tell you something about our tithing and our giving. Typically, when you step out and you begin to trust God, when God tells you something, you might get the biggest bill of your life on Monday or Tuesday. Right? And that's where you have to go, okay, God, I'm testing you in this. I'm going to hold on. I have seen that happen over and over and over again. I've had people come up to me and go, well, I was obedient and I tithed on Sunday for the very first time and I got the biggest bill of my life on Tuesday. And I go, what are you going to do about that? I don't know. I go, don't stress it. God's got it. I don't know how, but God's got it. By Friday, they come back to me and they go, you're right. Because see, God doesn't ever promise that we're going to be worry-free. God doesn't promise that everything's going to go great financially. Okay, the Bible says trouble reigns on the just and the unjust. And so when that time comes, doesn't mean you're not going to get a big bill. But what it does mean is that God's going to take care of it because you're working with him. And so holding on to that, you must decide in your heart ahead of time how you're going to respond when you have an opportunity to give. You have to decide that you're going to follow God's principles for finances and stewardship. It really is between you and God. What I challenge you to do is take your finances to God and say, God, here are my finances. Here's our budget. Lord, what do you want to do with it? Lord, bless us. Speak to us. Guide us. Direct us. Ask him for direction on how he wants your finances that he entrusted you to be spent. Ask God to show you in every area of your life, especially an area where you have a hard time trusting him. I'd even say this, and man, I started working on this too. Like, if you're going to make a big purchase, ask God what he thinks. Let him speak to you. I mean, like that kind of connection where you're able to say, God, okay, like speak to me. And I think he'll protect us in a lot of ways. And again, I said this, notice that scripture says, don't give reluctantly or under pressure. I want you to hear this. There's no pressure to give in this message series. Here's what I'm challenging you to do. If you walk away with anything, God, speak to me, direct me. Help me to know what you want me to do, and then I'll be obedient. And then, like I said, don't be grumpy about it. God loves a cheerful giver. He's not going to force you to do anything. How many of you are grumpy when people open your gifts on Christmas morning? I can't believe I got that for them. Okay, right? That's like what happens when we're grumpy with God after we've given to him. Like, I'm going to give you this gift, God, and I'm going to be grumpy about it. No, be happy. Thank God that he's provided. Thank God that we get a chance to give back to him. It's our portion. Listen, money, you'll always be able to make more money. The time he gives you is what's so precious. So don't waste the time being grumpy about financially furthering his kingdom. We get to help people find who Jesus is with our giving. Principle number 3, first fruits. Giving God the best and the first. Will you write that down? Giving God the best and the first. Deuteronomy 26:10 tells us this. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. First fruit means that we give God the very first and the best in our lives. How does it play out? It means this. First thing you do at the beginning of the month before you pay any bills is you write out your tithe check. First fruits. God, you are the first. When you get upset and you have an issue that you're dealing with, first fruits means you call him up on the phone first, not all your friends, and then tell God last. Everything in your life, first fruits. If you live a first fruits life, there's a first fruit blessing that comes along with it. First fruits means that God is the first one I give at the beginning of the month before I pay any bills. And here's what happens when it's not first fruit and he becomes the last thing, you'll never do it. Because there'll be bills, there'll be like, I can't afford. If you put him first and watch what he does the rest of the month, it's amazing. The principle of first fruit plays out in our lives in every aspect. Giving God the best of our time, giving God the best of our emotions, our finances, our relationships, etc. If God is always the last one we go to, if God's always the last one that we put on our list, chances are at the end of the month, there'll be scraps. There'll be scraps emotionally. There'll be scraps, whatever it is that you're not giving God your first fruits. First fruits, it's placing him first. When you place God first, everything else comes into line. I believe that's exactly what Matthew 6:33 is saying. And it's a scripture we all know. It's this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we're talking about his kingdom, we're talking about his principles on how we live too. Seek God first, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you. That's where I think that idea of first fruit really plays out. If you put God first in every aspect of your life, everything else will come into line. I watched my mother-in-law throughout her life, who said, everything, I always give God the first. She would literally have a garden, and she'd take 10% of that garden and give it away. She literally would bake, I think, pies, right? And the first pie would be given away. Her pickles, all right? Because she said, I want to serve God with my first and my best. And every aspect of her life, she did not end up with a lot in life. But I'm going to tell you, when she ended her life, she ended with no debt, money in the bank, everything she had, she owned. She'd been a single mom with 6 kids. And I watched this play out because every time she'd say, okay, I got to write my tithe check out. And she was living on a limited income. But you watch God's blessing in her life. Remind me of the widow as we read that story. She always would tell, like Paul and I were just talking about this last week. Paul would get so mad because she'd give the pickles away first, right? And you're like, I want those pickles. And her mom would always say, nope, first fruit. First goes out, we give it away. And in every aspect of her life, what a great teacher of putting God first. And I think when God met her in heaven, I think he smiled. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. First fruits. Principle number 4 that we see in scripture, give regularly. 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. Kind of a first fruit idea, but also saying, okay, God, every week, however you want to do it and whatever God speaks to you. But Paul tells the church in Corinthians, it's important to plan out your giving and give regularly. It's a very practical point also. If you build giving into your budget and you give it regularly, it's much easier than trying to give it all at once. And for Paul and I, we build that right into our budget. Tithing is a line in our budget where we say, okay, we're going to do this. It's a practical point. If God's speaking to you about tithing, 10% all at once is a big amount to your income. Ask God for strategy. Maybe you say, okay, God, I'm going to start out with 2%. And I've told you that story before where I had a lady come up to me in Port Angeles and say, man, I just can't do 10%. Like, it's just too much. I got to work myself into it. And I said, okay, start out with 2. Ask God if that's what he wants you to do. Start out with 2. At the end of that month, she came back and she said, oh my goodness, God showed up. Like, it just blows me away. I go, well, then what about 4% this next month? She goes, okay, that's great. So she did 4%. At the end of that month, she came and goes, man, God totally blew me away again. God just returned all of that, and I was able to do it. There was no problem. I go, what about 8%? She's like, whoa, that's a stretch, but I'm going to give it a try. By the end of that next month, she came back. God met every single one of my needs, and she was up to 10%. And I promise you, she like would say, man, that was where she started to give. And God just turned her into somebody that was so generous. But ask God the strategy. That's what I want to challenge you. And here's the deal. When God speaks to you about giving, God will also provide the seed to be able to give. If God comes along and says, listen, I want you to do this, if you'll step out in faith, scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:10 this. For God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. And I want to put a word through you. Okay? Listen to this. He gives you the seed. If he tells you to do it, he'll give you the seed. If you'll set your heart to tithe and be generous, God will supply the seed to do that. And you'll see that your finances, it goes just, God brings them and you're able to put them out and give them out. The problem is when you're not tithing, you're literally eating your seed. Okay, what happens when a farmer eats their seed? There'll never be a harvest. There's no farmer that would ever eat their seed. There'd be no crops. And as challenging as it can be, we have to put our seed in to plant, not eat. We plant our seed by giving regularly. I challenge you. I know Josh and I were just talking about this last week. We're like, man, the best thing I do is set up reoccurring giving because it just comes out of my account and it's set to go. So maybe you want to do that. It's up to you and what God tells you to do. But there's principles to give regularly. And then principle number five is this, give above and beyond. Offerings are above and beyond our tithe. And I want to say this because I think we have to get this in our perspective. To tithe is obedient. We're being obedient when we tithe. Because everything that 10% God says is mine. Giving above and beyond that is where generosity starts. Remember that God provides the seed. And as you step out and you're obedient, he's going to provide the seed to be generous. 2 Corinthians 9:6 tells us this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. These are principles that God has set when it comes to our finances. Next week, we're going to look at what God can do through his people when they're ready to give and they have the right generous mindset. And then say, man, we're ready to move. We're ready to do something for God's kingdom. In the Old Testament, God's people moved heaven and earth with their generosity. And see, this is the thing. Generosity is not new. We see it through from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. We see what happens when God's people are generous. We see what happens when God's people say, yeah, we want to be a conduit of finances. It's not just so that I can get rich, but it's so that I can turn it around and bless other people. I can turn it around and sow into kingdom builders. I can turn it around and sow into ministries in Pakistan and India and with missionaries. And we can do the same today. When we sow generosity, that will move heaven and earth. When we sow and we're generous, let's do all that we can to fill up heaven with souls. And that's where treasures can never rust and they're never destroyed. When we put our focus in saying, God, I want to be generous. I want to reach people. I want to be a part of a place that is reaching the lost. And so today I want to encourage you with those five principles. And again, the biggest thing I want you to walk out with is, God, what do you want me to do with all this? Listen, if you walk out and you go, oh, well, that was okay. I'm moving on to life and not going to really think. I challenge you, think about this. Take a few moments with God this week and go, what do you want me to do with these things? Speak to me, God, about areas that I need to be more generous. Speak to me, God, about things that are in my life that you want me to change around. God, speak to me. Because I think the biggest thing we walk out with here is that every man, every woman should give what God has told them to give. And there's times where it's outside. And I'm going to tell you, typically God's number scares you. Like he might push you to a point where it's like, whoa, that's a little scary. How are we going to do that? If it scares you, it's probably God. If it doesn't, you could probably do it on your own and it's not that big of a deal. Okay? And so today, again, we talk about this idea and talk about these concepts. One, because it's in the Bible throughout. Two, because I think we need God's blessing on our finances. And I'm telling you, and I read this in Proverbs. We've been in our men's group. We challenged everybody to read a Proverbs a day. And one of the things that God says is that, man, he blesses our obedience. I saw that time and time again. As Solomon wrote Proverbs, he blesses our obedience. And so whatever it is that God's calling you to do, and as you step out in obedience, he's going to bless you. You're going to see God show up. You can literally rest your head at night knowing that you're not going to have destruction because you follow God's principles and he's going to take care of you. Like I said, doesn't mean trouble won't come because the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. But it means that you have somebody that's going to help take care of it. You don't have to figure it out on your own. And so today, let's bow our heads. Let's pray. We're going to get ready to close service. And listen, if you've never given your life to the Lord, man, that's where this all starts. The Bible says, we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never done that, or I need to rededicate my life. If that's you today, the Bible says it's so easy to do that we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart. We say, Jesus, today, I want to give you my life. All of the areas of my life. I want to give you the reins of my life. I want to surrender to you, and I'm lost, and I need you. If that's you, and you say, Pastor, today I need to give my life to Jesus, will you just slip up a hand? Thank you. Anybody else? We're going to pray together. The Bible says that even when one person gives their life to the Lord, all of heaven rejoices. So today, can we just take a minute and just rejoice, just join heaven? Let's give God a hand for how he changes lives and how he touches people. It's so powerful. And we're going to pray this prayer together. Will you follow along with me? Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Today I give you my life. I surrender to you. Thank you for loving me. While I was yet a sinner, thank you for caring for me. And Lord, today I want to declare from this point forward that I'm yours. Lord, my life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, today I pray, God, also, Lord, as we walk out of here, I pray that we would not only be hearers of your word, but we would be doers of your word. God, that you'd begin to speak to people right now, God, about this idea of tithing and generosity and Lord, sowing in to what you've called us to sow into. God, that you'd begin to speak to people and that people would begin to listen like never before. God, I pray right now for those that are in financial need. God, I pray that, Lord, they would step out and they would trust you. And God, that in these principles that we're learning, God, that we would put them into practice. Lord God, that we wouldn't just walk out and ignore what your word says, but God, we'd look at these areas of our life and that we'd begin to line ourselves up with you. God, begin to line ourselves up with what the Bible says. Lord, there's an incredible blessing when we do that. And God, I pray that not one person would walk out of here feeling pressured or like just feeling bad, but God, they'd walk out feeling so good. Lord, to know that you're here to help us in our finances. God, you're here to walk through these things with us, God. Lord, you love us so much and you're here to work through these things. But God, I pray that you'd have us ask these questions. Lord, what do you want me to do with this? God, what do you want me to do with Kingdom Builders as an opportunity to give comes up? Lord God, what would you have me do in my finances, God? And Lord, I also just pray today for anyone that's walking through debt. God, I pray that this next year would be the year, Lord, where you set people free from debt. God, your word says that we're slaves to the master, God, when we have debt. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you just help us to work through that. And that in 2022, there'd be incredible testimonies, God, of how you supplied to set people free from debt. And God, we thank you for that today. Lord, bless your people. I pray that this week as they get ready to have Thanksgiving, Lord, all of us get ready to have Thanksgiving, Lord, that we'd continue to be reminded, God, of how good you are and how much you love us. Lord, be with us. Go with us, Lord. There'll be some of us traveling. Lord, I pray you'd protect vehicles, that you'd protect families, God. I pray that also, God, for families that are dreading getting together, Lord, I pray this would be a great year for that, God, where relationships would be put back together again, God, where families would be brought back together, and Lord God, where people would experience just a new love for people in their families. Lord God, bless us. Help us to walk in